Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, how foolish. How foolish does Paul think we are? To be able to actually say that we can boast in our suffering? I mean, not simply endure, not simply put up with it, not to simply cope with it, but to boast in it, to rejoice in it. Apparently, the Apostle Paul never got the phone call in the middle of the night with the bad news that Dad has died. Apparently, he never heard the bad news from the doctor's mouth. It's terminal cancer. Apparently, he never sat by the bedside of a dying person who was wondering, where is God in all of this? Boast in suffering? Come on, Paul. You see, to boast at the occasion of suffering is completely antithetical to our sinful human nature. If anything, suffering is usually an occasion for us to complain, for us to play the victim, to talk about fairness and saying things like, what did I do to deserve this? And along comes Paul, who says, we rejoice, we boast in our afflictions. And this is something, because you know just as well as I do that there is no shortage of afflictions and suffering to go around. And our sinful human nature constantly tells us that we don't deserve such suffering. And so the last thing we want to do is boast about it. The last thing we want to do is rejoice in the midst of it. Instead, we want to demand answers for it. Why is it happening? We want to justify it somehow. And the answers that we give and the answers that we hear, well, they may sound good on greeting cards, but they are completely impotent in the face of true and real suffering. Right? When we're faced with tribulation, we might hear someone say, well, God's got a purpose in all of this. To which I think, oh, really? I could think of about 10 other ways that God could have shown me what his purpose was. Or maybe someone says, God must have something better in mind. Oh, well, what has he told you that he hasn't told me? Please do share. Or someone might say, God's strengthening your faith through all of this. He's testing your faith through all of this. Like Job, right? Oh, really? So God gave my child cancer to test my faith. Thanks. You see, we want to speak all kinds of words when we encounter suffering, but the words that we speak are not boasting or rejoicing. Usually the words we speak indicate that we don't think we deserve the suffering in the first place. But the words of Paul here highlight the fact that we are not mere victims of suffering in this world. Rather, the suffering and tribulation in this world is our fault. It was not God, after all, who broke his creation with sin, right? It was us. And so let's not try to peg this on God by asking silly questions like, well, if God knew that they were going to sin, ... No, we are the culprits, not God. And ever since the disobedience of our first parents and Adam and Eve, we have continued to break his creation with our sin. And Paul will even go on in the rest of chapter 5 to say that the reason we die is not because we're somehow innocent bystanders or victims of death's cruel grip. No, we die precisely because we earn it. It is the pay that we deserve for the work of our sin. And so the creation continues to groan, longing for redemption and restoration. You see, in the face of suffering, we don't get to use our words to dictate to God about what we deserve or what we don't deserve, because the reality is that you don't deserve the breath that you just took. And so how can we waltz before God and declare to him that we don't deserve this or that suffering and then demand an answer from him when God could rightly and justly execute his full wrath upon us for our sin? For that is what we deserve from God. But thanks be to God that that is not what we have been given. And that makes all the difference. You see, when we begin to take seriously our sinfulness as the source and the cause of our suffering, we begin to see why Paul's words here are so powerful. We begin to see why he can say that we boast in our suffering. Because Paul first reminds us of what Christ has done first and foremost to deal with our sin. And only then does he talk about boasting in our affliction. Listen to what he says. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, that means completely and totally forgiven of our sin through Christ and Christ alone, because of that, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You see, Paul reminds us of who we are as redeemed, forgiven children of God, and only then does he go on to say, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. And not because suffering and affliction is somehow good, no, but because suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. See, notice that the answer Paul gives to suffering is not anything about finding God's purpose in it. Right? He doesn't say anything about God having a plan in all of this, nothing about God closing doors and opening windows, nothing about God having something better in store. Well, the only way Paul says we can boast in suffering is because of who God has declared us to be already. Justified, forgiven of our sin, having received exactly what we don't deserve, being given the gift of Christ's righteousness. And so that is the word that we speak in the midst of suffering. It is the only word by which we can boast even when the world crumbles around us. It is a word that goes behind us and propels us forward from hope, and it is a word that goes before us and it tugs us along towards hope from beginning to end. Our life is covered in the justifying blood of Christ and his promises. You see, that is the only word with which we can boast, even in the face of intense suffering and even death itself. There was an elderly couple who still lived at home, but they were failing in health. He had Alzheimer's and she had other health issues of her own, and she was caring for him. And at first it was somewhat manageable in the early stages, but it was still hard, especially for her. This was not at all how she expected to spend the last years of her life. And so their pastor would go and he would visit them and he would bring them God's word in the midst of their suffering. And each time he went, he would get to see, he got the privilege to see how the word of Christ brought relief and comfort even in their trials. And it may not have lasted long, but in those moments in conversation over God's word, they were propelled forward in hope in the promises of Christ. Well, as you would imagine, the situation got worse and worse, and the pastor continued bringing the word of Christ that would push them forward in hope. But eventually, the wife took a turn for the worse. And this time, the pastor's visit did not so much include a conversation over God's word, because she was far too weak to speak. But she was still conscious, and he could tell that the promises of Christ were granting her peace, even as sin began paying out his terrible wages of death. Now, if you have any experience with people who are on their deathbed, then you might be familiar with what is sometimes called the death rattle. It doesn't happen with everyone, but it's when a person loses their ability to swallow, and so fluid begins to accumulate in their respiratory system, and as they breathe, there is this chilling sound of a deep rattle in their chest. And once it begins, you can notice as it progressively gets worse, an indicator that death is drawing near. Well, the last time this pastor went to visit this dying wife, the only conversation he had was with the ugly rattle of death. And as he read to her from the Psalms, as she breathed, the death rattle was so loud that he had to pause just for her to breathe so that she could hear the words of God. And the word that he had once propelled her forward in hope was now the word that tugged her along towards hope. There in that room were two words locked in mortal combat, the word of God and the victory rattle of death. And there were no illusions in that room. She was not getting better. Death was tightening its grip and it would win. There was no God has a plan in all of this. There was no he's just testing your faith. There was no he's closing a door but he's opening a window. No, the only word left to speak, the only word worth speaking, was not a greeting card sentiment. Instead, it was a word of boasting in Christ. Bragging to death's face that even though he would win the battle, he has not, will not, and cannot win the war. No, someone has already done that. Our King, victorious Jesus Christ. See, he has died, and he has risen, and he still reigns over your life and mine, even when our eyes tell us everything to the contrary. You see, that is how we boast in suffering. See, cancer will come, and old age will continue to claim your faculties. Freak accidents will take lives of infants and adults alike. Wars will be waged, and tyrants will rise and fall, but none of it separate you from the love of God that is found only in Jesus Christ our Lord. For you see, we suffer with him. We die with him. And so we will rise with him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.